All right,
no more greasing, no more Vaseline this time. We're gonna have a real match. I'm gonna bring the shrap. Get ready for more Skrulls invading Marvel Strike Force. The strike pass just got significantly better. Even more compensation is on your way for the Spectral Emporium, including some event currency. And managing your alliance is about to get a lot easier. What else can we reveal from our trip to Scopely headquarters? I'm discussing that with my brother Dorky Dad in this edition of your Marvel Strike Force Weekly News Update. And if you're ready for it, brother Dorky Dad, let them know what they can do.
You gotta go smash it.
And boom, welcome back to the Valley Flying channel. I'm Valley Flying. This is Dorky Dad, and this is this week's edition of your Marvel Strike Force Weekly News Update. We do this every single week, covering the best, all the latest in Marvel Strike Force. And if this is your first time here on the channel, hit that subscribe button for more great Marvel Strike Force content. At least 5 Marvel Strike Force videos per week on this channel with everything, all the latest to help you in Marvel Strike Force to keep you updated. But before we get into all that, I do want to give myself a little bit of a shout out. You got the first one of these, Dorky Dad, the first in-game recognitions. Heartgrave got one. Now it is my turn. Valley Flying featured in-game. How much did you appreciate Scopely doing this when your channel was announced, brother?
A lot. It's a lot of exposure. Like when we say as YouTubers and Twitch, we're only hitting maybe 10% of the entire gaming community that plays Marvel Strike Force. We're not kidding. A shout out like this leads to a lot of initial subscribers, a lot of initial followers, more eyes, more grows our community. We love our community, so it's really nice that they do this. I just wish that they would, you know, up the rate at which they do it.
Yeah, I think this was supposed to be done in September, but it got delayed a little bit. But yes, thank you. Shout out to Scopely. And thank you to each and every one of you supporting this channel, especially if you found this channel because of the in-game message. But let's talk about our trip to Scopely headquarters. What was your overall impression of the Scopely headquarters and some of the things that we learned about what is coming in Marvel Strike Force?
Well, I learned that some things in the movies are real and some things are fake. When you look at tech companies in the movies and they have like the juice bar and the food and they get served lunch and everything. That's real. That's really good for them. I'm very jealous of that.
That was an awesome part of the office, man. I love that place in the office. And it's not like a snack bar that you have to go pay. They get everything stocked up. It is awesome there. I love that part of the office.
Yeah, I've never had Fiji water because I refused to pay for it, but I got to try Fiji water there.
Was it different? Was it all you've hoped for?
It's water, man. It's all water. It's water.
All right. A little more about the direction of the game. Is there anything that surprised you about what is coming up in the game? Anything that you're really excited about? I know a lot of stuff is still under NDA, so you can't go into too much details, but is there anything that really excited you about the direction of this game?
I thought there was two things coming that are like really, really, really cool. And then there's another thing coming. And then that's it.
That's not as exciting. All right. Yeah. So hopefully that does get changed. I think all of us have talked about it in general. Like there's a lot of good things that got shared. There's one thing that is not very exciting that hopefully gets changed. What was your biggest surprise of the trip, though? One of your impressions that you had about Scopely or any of the other content creators got changed from this trip?
Well, you know, we always say like, hey, the devs are real people and they don't make these decisions. And sometimes that felt like lip service so that people wouldn't get bullied. But after meeting the developers and, you know, like literally having dinner and kind of talking without the whole Marvel Strike Force thing being present, they really are real people. And I think the majority, everyone I talked to, at least, they were gamers. They were enjoying playing the game. They wanted it to be fun, but also to be successful so the game could continue to grow and last longer. And then they played other games. It was a lot of fun just trying to pick their brains and learn more about this whole mobile and just gaming industry as a whole. And I thought that was a really cool experience.
Yeah, I think everybody that we met there was really, really cool. They're highly invested in Marvel Strike Force. But I would say the last time that we went to Scopely headquarters, we didn't just meet the creative people. We met some of the money people as well. We didn't meet any of the money people, bad guys on this trip. So I think we just met all the good people and all the people that are responsible for all the decisions that people don't like in the game. We didn't meet any of them. I think we met all the people that enjoy the game, that play the game pretty hardcore and are highly invested in Marvel Strike Force. But I don't think they're involved in any of the money decisions. So, yeah, I think everybody that we met was really, really good. And I think they purposely kept us away from the higher level people and the money people because they're impressed. Might be a little different, but one of the things that is coming to the game that we are able to share is this things about these alliance management tools. This is one of the more exciting things that we got Pimtoxy, TyJ, the original creators of Marvel Strike, or MSF.GG, now the in charge of MarvelStrikeForce.com. One of the big things that I was wanting is for these alliance tools to be very, very good, because we've had a little tease of this previously. And I know one of the big things that I've had trouble with my alliance is keeping it full for a while, especially with these events. I know you're in a high level line, so I know it's probably not a problem that you have, but what have you heard about your community from some of the problems that not having a full alliance is creating, and how much you think this stuff is going to help?
Oh yeah. So at least once a week I get a message like, hey, Dorky, I need to find a new alliance. My alliance broke up. I got kicked out, whatever the case may be. Can you help me? And I'm always like, no, I don't know how to help in that situation, because it's such a convoluted thing to get into, and you've really got to be chosen, but you also have to be the right fit. And it's always been very complicated. And what TyJ and Pimtoxy are doing here is really simplifying that and making it more streamlined, which I think is great. And honestly, one of the best things Scopely ever did was bring those guys on, because they are passionate. Yeah. And this is going to help the community grow. It's going to help that early mid-game experience help people find better homes faster. Like, if you're in a current alliance where it's mostly dead and you're ready to move on to the next raid, well, now you're going to be able to come here and try and find a better fit for what you're trying to do. And I think that's going to be really important for the growth of the game. And I think this system and everything else they're working on, because they got a lot of cool stuff coming down, is going to be really helpful for the growth of the game.
Yeah, I think that's one of the things that I really wanted to see, is the devs focus on the growth of this game. And I think they are. I heard a lot of the good things that I wanted to hear when I was there. So yeah, the growth of the game, I think, is very, very important. I think this is going to help with that a lot. But we also got a maintenance yesterday, and it lasted a little longer than a lot of people were expecting. But we got some pretty good rewards for this as well. It lasted about an hour 40. It did say it was going to be 30 to 60 minutes. Did this affect any players that you heard of? I know Zone 4 Wars, they might have got screwed up. Our alliance is in Zone 4, and we knew that this maintenance might take a little longer. So it was like, all right, everybody get your attacks in right away before this goes down. Were you affected by this maintenance lasting a little longer, or was there any people that you heard from that were affected by this? Because this compensation was pretty good, so I don't know if there's any complaints about the maintenance lasting too much longer from myself.
I haven't heard too many complaints. I know personally, like, I went to start streaming, and then the maintenance happened. I was like, oh, I didn't know there was going to be maintenance. And then I waited an hour in front of my computer, just kind of dinking around and other stuff, and it kept going. So like, okay, never mind. I'm just going to go hang out with my kid. So I don't think it affected anybody in a serious way. So I guess it's fine, right? A little bit extra energy, especially for that incursion campaign, is cool.
Yeah, I think we normally get 80 energy, if I'm not mistaken, or 120 energy, and this is a little bit more. So I think all that stuff is fine, in my opinion. Now, we did get some messaging about the current event that's going on, Spectral Emporium. This is the original, well, almost the original message we went. We have the original messaging on Reddit here that we're going to read. But for the first event, Spectral Emporium went live today. The scoring inputs did not align with previous communication. Per power cores was communicated, players would earn 5 points per power core spent. Mm-hmm. It went live awarding 1 power core spent. The 5 was the intended result, and the team was spending players 2,500 event milestone points for compensation for this point disparity. But that's not what they said in the original message. This blog post got changed. Fortunately, we have the original messaging on Reddit. It said sending all players 25,000 points of event currency, not of event milestone points. Now, I thought it was milestone points. I think we got a message early in the Discord chat, so I always thought it was milestone points. So I didn't even read. I kind of glossed over this. Did you, when you saw this go live, did you think it was currency or milestone points?
I got to be honest with you. I got super sick coming back from that Envoy Summit, and I've been completely checked out of this event up until last night, where, again, things changed. I'm sure we're going to talk about that. So
It got better.
Yeah, I didn't see this, so I didn't have any outrage about it, but I definitely heard it from a lot of people in the Discord, and I think every envoy ended up going to the Discord and being like, hey, what's going on? So
yeah. Not me. I thought it was milestone points. I'm like, wait, they read it wrong. It said milestone points, and then I went to this original message. It said currency. I'm like, oh, they said currency. They got to do something about this, because, yeah, this was milestone points, and they did do something about it. Your feedback was heard, Marvel Strike Force players, and with a new message that went out late last night. I think I already went to bed when this came out. Today, all players were sent 25,000 Spectral Emporium milestone points, the Spectral Emporium event. Feedback was received that many players expected to receive 25,000 of the Ebony Treats. This was a miscommunication. The team intended to send the milestone points, not Ebony Treats. This led to confusion, frustration, and disappointment for many players. Will send additional compensation with the 25,000 Ebony Treats to meet expectations after our initial communications. I think this is great. I think they handled this correctly. I think they did this in a timely manner. What are your impressions of this? Because I think this was just Archangel like doing something weird with the wording here, and everybody got rewarded for this.
Yeah, one thing that we're probably not supposed to say is when we were at the Envoy Summit, we kind of greased the wheels with Archangel, so he makes a couple extra mistakes on the blog. I'm just kidding, Scopely. I'm just kidding, okay?
You weren't supposed to say anything. You weren't supposed to say anything.
No, like you said, this is definitely the right way to handle it. And so it makes the event more palatable to get to some of the later milestones. But as far as their metrics go, we know they want you to have to spend for those gear tier 18s at the very bottom. And yeah, you would still have to spend quite a lot to get to those gear tier 18s. And then for the leaderboard, which is going crazy anyway. So for them to give, you know, in total 50,000 milestone points with, I believe, ooh, that's 25 gear tier 18 pieces just with those free treats they're giving us. This is good. It makes the event a lot more palatable.
Yeah, I mean, looking at what those 50,000 milestone points will be, that is way past the meta item. That is all the way down to almost that last milestone, or maybe not the last milestone, but some pretty good milestones here. And I guess the thing with this leaderboard, everybody gets the same amount of stuff, and it's up to you to spend your Ebony Treats in the store, because you know, you do have to spend it to get that currency. Well, let's talk about this Ebony Treat store, because there's some pretty good stuff in the store. Now, we got some character shards here, and we do have a list on Reddit of the character shards that are in here. We have a lot of farmable characters: Morbius, Voodoo, Agatha Harkless, Agatha and Heartless, Dark Beast, Nemesis, A-Bomb 2099, Agent Venom, who's not totally farmable. He's in the arena orb, but not in a farmable node. Captain Carter's farmable. Gwenpool, not farmable. Moonstone is farmable. Kang, not farmable. Miss Marvel, Hardlight is not farmable. So there's three unfarmable characters here. What do you think of the choice of character selections in this store here?
I think it's fine. Like, there's two clear winners, Hardlight and Kang. Everyone else is kind of a character that's either on their way out or for a super specific game mode like Gwenpool and Moonstone.
I bought Gwenpool my first purchase because I got her to 6 stars, so I was happy with that.
And that's the thing, right? Like, these character shards, they're really only worth it if you can budget and guarantee you're going to get that character to appear enough that you're going to get a star upgrade. Like, if you're just buying 10 random shards and you're at 10 out of 200, then those 10 shards,
oh, they do, yeah, they mean you nothing. But if you're like a 190 out of 200, that is huge.
That's right.
Let's talk about the other part. So the other part, people are waiting for some of these gear 18 pieces to pop up, but they're not all in the store. The only thing that are in the store are going to be these pieces here. Let's talk about what is in the store. So you got your Mystic pieces here. And if you look at this and go to your find section, you see one in the normal supply section. This is the other supply store here. This is the Ebony Treat store. So we have Mystic there. We're going to look for Tech. Tech is also there. We have double Tech, and we also have a double of this skill section here. So it's in there right now, and that's a normal supply section. But what is not in there is any pieces for bio. And I'm guessing that's because the Super Scroll is bio, and also no pieces for mutant. And I think that's because Apocalypse is mutant. So given that, what is the main things that you're going to look to purchase in this store? More gear 18 pieces, more character shards, other pieces, maybe some uniques. What are you looking to purchase in this store?
Definitely be doing gear 18 still. Like, there's a lot of good characters for those three origin traits. I, as of yesterday,
Mystic skill or tech?
I will. I'll probably try and focus on tech and mystic. Mystic, okay, over tech, though, because I'm fairly certain we're getting some more tech characters, and we just got Pegasus, so it's like really strapped there. But me personally, I just got the final gear tier 18. I needed to enter that final section of Dark Dimension 6. So it's all
You're just doing this for fun. This is not even for Dark Dimension. All right. Exactly. Nice.
It's all fun for me now.
I wish I was there. I wish it was there. All right. So for the Spectrum Emporium event, more things to discuss with this, because this was the first time that I could remember that we got three different leaderboards. I'm sure we had in the past, but I'm just not remembering it. To sweeten the pot, Spectrum Emporium will feature a leaderboard where you can compete against other commanders, similar levels, for a big prize. And we have three different tiers here. The first is for commanders level 85 to 95. The other tier is for 70 to 84. And the last tier is for 50 to 69. What do you think this means? Do you think this is a good thing? I mean, obviously there's some positives, but there's also some negatives with this as well. There's a smaller pool for these leaderboards, but you're getting more rewards that are more aligned with your play style. What do you think of this? Do you think the positives outweigh the negatives, or the negatives are more than the positives for these three leaderboards?
No, I think this is horrible. I think this is really bad. And we're going to find out at the end of this event how many end game players there still are in the game from 85 to 95 or whatever the cutoff is there.
Mm.
That's going to be eye opening, because right now, like, top 1% is around 25 to 2800 players. So we're going to see what I believe is the top 2% is in that end game bracket. And if it's below like 1000, people are going to panic. People are going to assume the end of the game is coming. They're going to be freaking out. I think this was a really bad optical decision by them, and I think you could always just add more rewards to one leaderboard. Couldn't you just, everything that the lower level players need, couldn't you just slam that in to the other, to the main leaderboard at the bracket where they're gonna probably end up?
I see the bad of this right now. The leaderboard is getting diluted and having less players in that player pool and not getting as high rank. I mean, these are some pretty good rewards, right?
I wish
the whole player pool was there. It'd be a lot easier to get 10% or 2%. This is kind of blind right now. We've never had this three, like I said, that I could remember. So it's going to be rough to get into these top rewards. And there's some pretty good stuff in the top 1 to 2%. We got 36,000 armory 18 orb fragments. Top 10% is 18,000 of those fragments. How competitive is it going to be to get into this 10%, you think?
For the 10%, I think if you do your average stuff, like say you're doing, six energy refreshes, so you're dabbling in the 100s, I think you'll get to 3 to 10. I think 1 to 2% is going to surprise people and be a little bit more costly to get into, probably having to do about 8 energy refreshes, if not more. Mm. And I think the top 250 is actually going to be a little bit lighter than people think, because that's just 25 of the salts and the whatever the other thing is. With a 6-star Big Time Spider-Man. Now, Big Time Spider-Man, not a bad character. Great plug and play. In war defense, though, where he's supposed to shine the brightest, like, he's countered by Kang, Tangled Web, Hawkeye, Yo-Yo. And yeah. I've fought, like, the biggest of the biggest Big Time Spider-Mans in security, and they don't touch Hawkeye, Yo-Yo when built, like, any sort of way up. So I don't think a 7-star Big Time Spider-Man is going to change how that defense team holds up, but we'll see. I guess this isn't Apocalypse, this isn't Black Cat, this isn't Super Skrull. It's kind of a different level character.
He is arena character, but he's working well for me in arena with 0 red stars. So even though he's involved in arena, unlike most arena characters, this is a character that you don't really have to build up if you don't want to. So I guess that is a good thing there.
Yeah.
All right. And one other thought that the community had is about these battle passes and strike passes. And like I said in the intro, a lot more Super Skrulls are going to be in the wild, Dorky Dad. And that is because this strike pass that launched last night, a lot of gear 18 armory 18 orbs in this. And we also got some teal elite orbs in this, which also have those armory 18 orb fragments. 75 total gear 18 orb fragments, a lot of value here. And we also got a lot of value in the battle pass. Now, this does have the erroneous Sylvie shards, but even without that, even what was intended, we are going to talk about the errors there, but even what was intended, a lot of dark promo credits, 1250 dark promo credits in this. So is the gap between free-to-play players and light spenders and Kraken's widening because of the extreme value that they placed in the paid track, the premium track of these battle pass and strike passes, and not as much in their free side?
100%. And when you look at what the current progression paths are attributing to a character, Gear 18 is about like a 22% stat jump. ISO 5, when you have that, that's a bunch of stats there as well. The red stars, yellow star system has always been like very extravagant once you start getting to the higher stars, right? So with them kind of pouring these gear tier 18s and more ISO 4 and ISO 5 and even the gold and training materials.
Oh, yeah. I didn't even talk about the ISO 4 and ISO 5. There's a lot of those in this strike pass as well.
Yeah, exactly. So like with the spenders getting a lot more of that, that gap is more like a chasm now. Like it's huge and it's only getting wider. And we got to assume level 100 is coming soon, right? With that whole garbage Dormammu gold skin there, I assume that's trying to get gold away from the Kraken so they can increase the level cap. So all of that being put on the pay pass, I think is a little dangerous. I think they need to change it to like 100% of rewards are in the total pass. 66% can be in the pay side, and at least 33% needs to be on the free side. At least
I like that, because right now it's all armor 18 orbs in the paid pass, nothing in the free pass. They should have some in the free pass as well. That way, these are exciting when they came out for everybody. What do you think about the selection of Zombie Iron Man? I think free to play players, I didn't look at the numbers, but what I'm hearing, free to play players will be able to unlock Zombie Iron Man if you did not unlock him in the past.
Yeah, if you have zero Zombie Iron Man shards.
Just initial release method, then he's going to be farmable. What do you think is going to happen with Zombie Iron Man after this?
If this is all we're getting, even on like the pay pass, or getting like 100 total, that's horrible.
That'd be bad.
Absolutely horrible. He needs to end up in some sort of store or at least premium orbs, something, because he is a very influential character. And if they're going to time gate Juggernaut the same way that they time gated Iron Man for the next year, come on, Scopely. Come on.
I hope this is just the introduction. It's like, all right, Zombie Juggernaut is going to be the hard one to farm now. Now, right after the strike pass ends in 13 days, now you guys can farm Zombie Iron Man and get that character up. I hope that's what's happening here. But yeah, I do like the value in strike pass. I just hope they give it more to free to play players so that gap doesn't widen. It's just like, I want all the ships to rise equally, and or maybe not equally, but you know, all the ships to rise instead of just some of the ships to rise.
The way I've said it is that I do lots of giant punch downs. I do lots of giant punch ups. It's not fun to get annihilated with no chance. It's not fun to do the annihilation with no chance. Mm. It's better if there's at least some level of risk and excitement there. And with the widening of the gap, that slowly just goes away.
Yeah, I hope they fix this. I hope they realize and switch the next few battle passes and increase more rewards for their free players. They've shown that they are listening to us. So if we make a big enough deal about this, hopefully they do address that. All right, next, in this battle pass, we talked about the Sylvie shards, and the new battle pass erroneously went live earlier this week with 50 of everything in their free pass, including those Sylvie shards and also dark promotion credits, armory, ISO, and a lot of stuff. There's also other things that we should have gotten more pieces of, and what they're going to do is send some compensation for that. What do you think of the response to this? I think this was great. They left it as is instead of taking this down and putting this up and looking for more compensation. I think this is the simplest solution. I think this is the best for the dev hours of Scopely, and obviously for the players getting more Sylvie shards. And we're going to get the best of both worlds, because the things that were more than 50, including the gold and other things, will be sent compensation. And I'm thinking maybe towards the end of this pass or at the end of this pass. So what do you think about their solution that they chose for this battle pass?
Yeah, I think the solution is good, but let me put my tinfoil hat on real quick. While we were at the summit, me and Taco told them how much we love the RNG resist check in Crucible Stage 2 with Magneto trying to land that ability block on Sylvie. Because Sylvie does get 200% resistance from, I believe it's Teen Loki or whatever the case may be.
Yeah.
And then they just so happen to break the strike pass that puts bigger Sylvies in the community for bigger Sylvie resist checks.
There's something to this. There could be something to this.
Yeah, no, but this is great. This is good. It's fine. Yeah.
It's almost like them giving a lot of secret defender shards. So everybody's arena defense and crucible defense is crazy. Don't they invest in more offense? It's almost like that tinfoil hat theory. But this was a pretty good one as well.
Yeah.
Exactly. All right. Let me know your thoughts, Valley Club, on that tinfoil hat theory. Sylvie, secret defenders giving away shards just to make it tougher for us. I mean, no. All right, we also got the Nova brackets. Now, this was something that went on during the event as well, during the summit as well, because this was live. We were talking to the devs. They were able to correct this. And what they said, finally, after receiving feedback from players, a lowered milestone points last week in the championship bracket of Nova. And this is for everybody that had 7 stars in Nova or higher. The points were off. and we got the devs to fix it. Unfortunately, they didn't think that this would happen. Some players encountered a bug where they cannot claim the lowered milestones once the event ended today, which was a few days ago. The leaderboard rewards sent to all players. Then a fix was deployed, enabling players to enable any claim milestones that they were unable to claim in the event. And if you go into the event, I'm not sure if this is live because I did all my milestones after the points were changed. You go in there and hopefully you should be able to claim whatever you're entitled to for that. Did you do all your points and stuff before the event points were or did you do all your milestones before the points were changed, or did you have this issue as well that they're describing?
So I have two accounts. One account I did before the change, one account I did after the change. It was really nice. So I went from having to do, I think it was difficulty 10 to get those gear tier 18s to do difficulty 9. No, I still did difficulty 10, but I only did 6 nodes instead of 8 nodes.
Okay.
So it was a really nice change. I didn't have this issue, but I do know people that did, and they said that this fix worked, and they were able to go in and claim it.
You're getting reports that people were going to go in and able to claim it.
Yeah.
Nice, nice. Okay. That's good. That's good. So it's already fixed, guys. We also got some Alliance War rewards update. Spoiler War, beginning at 24 karat update and influx of gold. Upcoming war season rewards will feature double the gold with a top payout of 20 million. Also find more elite war credits. Don't forget to stop by the elite war and open the valuable war orbs. Update is arriving on October 8th to power up your war teams. And make sure you take advantage of this boost in bullion when the next war season begins. When I first saw this, I thought this was a one-time thing. This looks like this is a permanent thing. I didn't ask a devs about this. What do you know about this? Is this a permanent or was this a one-time thing for the war updates?
It sounds like it's permanent, I think. It'd be kind of weird if it was a one-time thing.
I thought it was one time, but I'm reading it again. It does sound like it's permanent.
Yeah, feature on influx of gold. Yeah, I think it's permanent.
I think it is. Let me know in the comments, though. This is awesome. More gold, the better. I know I accidentally spent a bunch of gold and I'm out already. So yeah, this is great. Do this more. Do this at Crucible, influx more gold wherever you can, Scopely. All right, Battle Pass visual upgrades. Now, I thought this was already live and then it got removed, but it said it's coming soon. Coming soon to both Strike and Battle Pass for Commander 64 is a visual upgrade to clarify the Premium and Premium Plus purchase. When you haven't purchased the Premium Plus Pass, tapping activate will activate the screen that will clearly display specific rewards you'll earn immediately as to what is coming and when you make progress. You also have the option to tap more button to see all the potential rewards. We're looking for a great deal on both the strike passes. Now, this was in the game before. Yeah. I thought it got removed by a bug. I wasn't sure if it got removed on purpose. If we go into the game right now, though, we tap the activate button. We don't see that. Why do you think this was removed? Do you think it was an accident? They removed it on purpose and maybe they're bringing it back because it cost them some money. What do you think is going on with this notice here? Because this was here before.
I got to assume it's a bug because like there's no other way to say this. When you hit that view all button and you see all that stuff on one screen, you're like, I can get all that stuff.
I like
it looks
that.
A lot better. I know it looks a lot better than you see like the 5 items that are on the length of the screen.
Yeah.
So I this has to be a bug. I think that the view all increases their sales of the pass. It doesn't hurt their sales of the pass. So there's no way it was done on purpose.
I would think it would increase their sales as well. Is there any world that it would decrease their sales? I think it would be beneficial for them to keep this. So it must have been a bug.
I think so. All right.
I find it weird that it's a bug, but they're talking about it returning. So I think that's it's interesting. Both things. It's either one or the other, but I don't know. Anyway, good things also happen in the raid store. Bucky Barnes added there. Moonstone added there. I did not see this messaging. So I opened a store there. They were there. I was like, oh, this is awesome. I opened all my raid orbs. They're 7-star now. Were they already 7-star for you?
Yeah.
Nice. All right. So this didn't affect you, but how much is this going to affect the rest of the community? Getting more invaders, getting more of these Masters of Evil. Invaders are very important in the raids right now. Master of Evil, one of the best teams in Cosmic Crucible offense. How big are these characters being farmable now?
I think Moonstone is really nice. The problem with the Masters of Evil team is they're kind of used as a hybrid now to help take out these Super Skrull teams. And Moonstone is one of them that gets benched quite often, so it's a little unfortunate. But she'll help on the Nova event. And then Bucky Barnes, obviously, really crucial to that Invaders team. But something's going to happen with these raids soon. Now that we have literally 5 teams that all work in Incursion 1.6, I assume a new raid is coming. And there's 3 raid teams that could be on the chopping block. It's not going to be Bifrost. It's not going to be Pegasus. So Deathseed, Rebirth, and Invaders, at least one of these teams is going to be kicking the bucket for sure come the next raid. And I'm worried it could be Invaders because they already have that timeout issue.
Oh, it's definitely not going to be Bifrost. It's not going to be Pegasus. Those are the new teams. Deathseed, Invaders, Rebirth, they're all the oldest teams on any one of their candidates to get the chopping block on the next raid that is coming. We have the Invaders almost done. We still need Captain America World War II and Iron Fist World War II. New Warriors. We don't have a farmable Gwenpool. We don't have a farmable Firestar. Are they next to be added to some stores after Cap and Iron Fist?
I think so. Are they holding back their Crucible teams to be unfarmable longer than any other mode? Kind of feels that way, but Moonstone just came in.
I wonder why that is. Crucible's not even that important of a game mode anymore with the rewards.
Yeah, I mean, maybe something's coming down the line. They're going to be changing the rewards because I know a lot of people are getting sour on Crucible, so they're probably looking to revamp it somehow.
Yeah, I like this season when it started, but I'm ready for the new season to start already.
I hate it so much.
I liked it when it started. You didn't like it when it started?
Yeah, the first week was great. And then when I realized there was a 200% resist check on Sylvie, I was like, oh, this is garbage.
Yeah, that's that room is tough. All right. In addition to more farmable characters, we also got more Red Star farmable characters. Apocalypse, 5th through 7th Red Star added to the lead store. And Nova, 6th and 7th Red Star added to the store. I got my Apocalypse in there right now.
Nice.
And I saw Nova in there yesterday. Is there any reason to upgrade Nova right now? I'm thinking most players are just going to go straight for Apocalypse. But is there any devil's advocate type reasons to go and upgrade Nova?
So there's no reason to upgrade Nova before Apocalypse. But Nova is a great plug-and-play character with a turn one stun and his battlefield effect. I've been using him a lot in Crucible as plug-and-play. And his damage is crazy. So getting him higher red stars would be nice. But there's no world where he takes precedence over Apocalypse, Black Cat, probably not even over Quicksilver.
Do you think they should have split up this announcement to get a little more hype? Do maybe Nova get us to spend our dark promotion credits and then later release Apocalypse? Or do you like it how they released it like this? Both of them and you can choose who you want.
No, I think it's fine because I think for the most part, nobody cares that Nova was added. So he helps dilute the selection for people to core to find Apocalypse. That's probably why they did it.
Gotcha. Now, other thing they say, Darkhawk is arriving tonight. Initial release, October 12th. How big is this character going to be to this Pegasus team? I think people are already using Pegasus in the tech section and doing much better than before their rework. But how big is it going to be that this guy comes to the game? What was your experience on the test server with the four-piece of Pegasus?
Nothing.
Nothing. Okay. No. It's all the five-piece.
It's all Ironheart. It's Ironheart speed bar on spawn. Without that, the rest of the team really struggles. I think Darkhawk, if you buy him really big, probably get some good value out of him. Maybe the four piece can do some work in there. But you're not doing the whole section.
Without Ironheart. So they're releasing Ironheart last on purpose because she is the key to this entire team. All right, let me talk about this showcase event that's going on right now because this gives a little extra value. I'm not sure if it's going to give a lot of extra value if you didn't already purchase Iron Man World War II or Iron Man Infinity War, because to get through these other sections, you need Iron Man Infinity War. But if you did get Iron Man, we got some little extra value in this bonus section and in this challenge section as well. I'm farming this part every day. What do you feel about the extra value that the Pegasus team could provide for their showcase event?
For this particular part of the showcase, this is the
question I wanted to ask. Is it worth purchasing them for this extra value, or is it just because of the raid value?
Well, they don't need to be high stars for the raid. So I'm not sure for the current raid, I should say. So I'm not sure if the value is spending your money with them is there right now. As far as farming for the showcase, if buying Darkhawk is going to let you get those gear tier 18s that give you from the first time rewards on the event, then
You're going to need to buy all of them, though. All this good stuff. And you need three of them. You need Infinity War, Iron Man, Darkhawk, and Ironheart. You need all three for all this good stuff at the end.
There's some before that, like the node you're about to do has salts on it. You only need Darkhawk for that.
True. Yeah, this is a good one too. So yeah, you get one with Darkhawk and you get the rest with all three of them.
Yeah, but so if those salts help you get into the next Dark Dimension section, and that section is the legendary section, then I'm like, yeah, cool, like get your Super Scroll faster, it's okay. Otherwise, I don't really see the value in spending real life money on Darkhawk.
And it's time for a spoiler warning. Loki season 2 episode 1 aired last week, so if you have not watched that, it is time to shut down your ears, because we're discussing episode 1, not this week's episode, last week's episode. So with that warning, what did you think of episode 1 of season 2 of Loki?
I really liked it. I think they started the season off great. I'm excited to see how it continues. I was never a big Loki fan. Even the show, I was like, there's no Thor, who cares? Then you watch it, it was like, this is pretty good. And they started season 1 off with a banger. Like, it was, yeah, I liked it a lot.
Short round, Ouroboros, do you think he's a major character, or that was a one-time thing for him?
No, I think they put enough effort into making him likable and give him enough screen time in episode 1. I think he'll be like the man behind the screen for the team going forward in the season.
All right, and when do you think we're going to see an appearance from Kang? In last season, we saw the preview for episode 2. We saw Victor Timely, more parts of Kang. We've seen his name. We've seen his face all over the TVA now from the past. When do you think we're actually going to see an appearance of Jonathan Majors?
I hope today, because the new episode comes today. I hope we see Jonathan Majors Kang in every episode for the rest, because he plays that character so perfectly.
He's creepy. He's very creepy. The way he's very calculated and creepy.
Yeah, exactly. I hope we see a different variant of him in every season, and in every episode, and in the final episode, the season or series finale, whatever it's going to be. I hope he annihilates everybody, and then that is like, that's the Kang we're going to be seeing in the MCU.
All right, last one, Sylvie. When are we going to see her? How is Loki going to reunite back with Sylvie? Are they not going to do it till some of the final episodes, or are they going to have the reunion sooner?
I think episode 3 we'll see Sylvie. I think Sylvie is probably going to have her own dedicated episode today, and then episode 3 will, and it'll be like a cliffhanger when they're like, okay, well, now we're back.
So today you're predicting a Sylvie episode, then episode 3 is when we get everything connecting back.
Yeah, because the chemistry those two have on screen, like, you can't not lean into that. That was amazing in season 1, them together.
Yeah. Oh, speaking of chemistry, Loki and Sylvie had it, but Loki and Mobius had that as well. There's a lot of good stuff in this show. I like this. So I'm looking forward to the rest of it. I think it's going to be all good. And let me know your thoughts on that in the comments, Valley Club. Thanks for watching. I will see you guys next time. If this video did provide you some value, hit that like button. It is free for you, and it supports the channel a lot. Dorky Dad, any other final thoughts before we go?
Yeah, I just wanted to let you know that I started hitting the gym. I started my grip exercises. So next year, hopefully, the summit, it's on. It's on.
No more greasing. No more Vaseline this time. We're going to have a real match.
No more lifting your elbow.
I'm going to bring the strap.
No more lifting your elbow. No more.
All right, guys. Thanks for watching. I'll see you guys next time. Dorky Dad, you're in for that fist bump.
You know I live for it, buddy.
All right, Hulk, fist bump, Valley Fly, Dorky Dad, out. Have a great rest of your day, guys.